Sage and Jessica, this is your 30-minute call. Once again, Sage and Jessica, this is your 30-minute call.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Thank You 5, the podcast. We're talking about all things on and off stage. I'm your host, Sage Starkey. And as always, I have our lovely
Jess. I have our lovely Jess.
Our lovely Jess.
I'm the co-host. Hello.
You're our lovely Jess, co-host medley.
Yes.
Co-host is the middle name. My middle name is Danger.
My middle name is Medley.
Oh, I knew that. That's right.
It's fine. Everything's cool.
It's fine. Well, welcome back. First off, sorry about last week, you guys. We are, you know, obviously this is a little late, but fortunately, you guys are getting a little bit of a double feature. We're dropping two episodes. Yeah, but our industry is kind of slowly but surely opening up, which is amazing, but still different because everything is virtual. Jess is killing it at her...
Her big girl job.
I just got done from a Google video shoot, so it's been a lot of fun. What are we doing this month, Jazz? What are we doing
this month? So Sage and I were brainstorming yesterday.
By the way.
No, it was Sage keeps texting me. He's like, "Do you hate me?" And I was like, "Sage, I'm so sorry. I forgot to text you back. I never hate you, Sage. At least not yet." So this month, we decided to focus our ideas on dreams or dream roles and things like that. So the next two episodes that you guys are going to hear, this one and the next, are going to be about dream roles and things that we want to do in the future, as well as things that we want to see the other person do in the future. And we're just going to have talks about the shows. Sage is probably going to educate me about a lot of the things that I don't know. and I'm going to give shows and roles to Sage that he's definitely going to know every single word and has probably played multiple times, because that's just how it's been going.
But I'm going to be flattered every step of the way. It's going to be amazing.
Just at least pretend like you are.
I hope you're flattered. I picked some solid roles for us. It's going to
be
good.
I'll be flattered. I'm always flattered.
Oh, good. So this first episode, we're gonna talk about our personal dream roles. And I think the last one we saved, so this were top 10 dream roles, but the last one, we decided to each give the other person a dream role. So I have one dream role that I'm going to give Jess, and she has one for me. But before we get into all of that, let's check in. What's going on, Jess? What's going on in the world of Jessica co-host Medley?
Oh, Jesus. So, hey, guys. I would say not too much, but that would be a lie, because actually a lot has been going on. My new job is great. I really, really love it. I'm very, very happy, but it is a lot of work, and it's pretty long hours, so I'm doing that a lot of the time. It's just been a lot of working. And then a lot of people, actually, funny enough, have been reaching out to me for me to manage their Instagram and their social media accounts. So it's like, full-time job plus freelancer in the making. And so it's a lot of things that are happening, but I've just been resting the past, 6 months, so I don't need sleep. So we're okay.
Yeah. I sure wish someone would, brand our social media, Jess.
That's you, Sage. You said you like doing it.
No, I said I could do it. I'm not great at it.
That's
teasing.
Our next project. Is he teasing? Unsure.
I love it. No, I've just been on vacation. I literally just got back from a socially distant vacation. We were there for 6 days because, when you are sitting at home for 6 months, I feel like you deserve a vacation. You know what I mean?
But it is like you get to get out,
really what it was. It was literally just like not being in our space anymore. And it was very cheap for the most part because, we had points because hotels are dying right now. They're like, please come. But it was very, very, it was very, very safe. I'll send you pictures and you can check out my Instagram for some of these pictures, Sage_Starkey. But we were actually the only people in the ocean. We were the only people in the ocean. It was that socially distant. Like, that's how bad tourism is right now. It's yeah.
What beach did you go to?
Well, we stayed at the Kempton at Vero Beach.
Oh, you're at Vero Beach. Okay.
We're at Vero Beach. Yeah. And so we literally We made friends with, and everybody wore masks the entire time, except when you're sitting in your chair, but we made friends with the people who put out the chairs and the umbrellas and straight up every day we would wake up and they would just have them out there for us because they knew we were going to be there and they had no one else. So it was just, it was really crazy. It makes me sad for the tourism industry and it is picking up a little bit because for the first time ever, since reopening, Universal and Disney World were at capacity, which is amazing.
Was it just Saturday that happened, or has it happened since
then? It was all weekend. It was Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, man, yeah. At capacity. I did not step near there. So yeah, I was kind of scared.
No, of course.
It's good and it's bad. It's like there's a lot of people going. So like, great for the companies and great for the people working to make money and stuff. But it is also like a lot of people in one space, and then it gets a little.
But they have enough safety.
They've been practicing those safety precautions for a while. So I wasn't there, so I can't give an accurate description of what was happening. But yeah, that's what happened this week for.
But there was an article that I saw. I mean, and what? Someone's texting me. There was an article that I saw that. I mean, I don't know. However, people want to agree with this or not, but that said, hey, you know what? I think it's time to say that theme parks and airplanes, because they're so safety precautious, they're not really contributing anything to COVID. I mean, sure, yeah, be smart, be safe, but there was an article from a very reliable like source that says, hey, you know what, this is not the problem. Yes, please be smart about it, but that's just a hopeful
it's not like a giant contributing factor to what's happening.
No, of course not. Yeah. Because they're still insanely abiding by the rules. And and we both know that from going there, but it's just crazy. Just craziness. Well, enough of that nonsense.
Let's get into dreams.
Dreams. Okay, so we're gonna start. So these are our dream roles, and I think we'll save the one that we chose for each other last.
Yes, I agree. Oh my gosh. Yes. Hello.
But I think, I want to know, like, after you tell me what one of your dream roles is, I want to know why and when that began. You know what I mean? Like.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, really, just give it to me. Give it to me, Jess. I gotta know.
I'm dropping things. Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
Rock, paper, scissors. Ready?
I was literally going to say the same thing. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
2 hours later.
Scissors, paper.
All right, I'll go first.
Oh, was that what we were voting for? That's fine. I think we were just playing a game.
We just played a game. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
You go first.
Okay. So I'll save those for the last two. Okay. At the very end of this, there'll be 10. So this is my number 5, I guess, and number 10, if you will. My number 5, the whole round of number 10. One of my dream roles, it's been for like a long time. Because people only always cast me as like the fun and silly guy, and sometimes I get to be the villain because of my height. I love Jekyll and Hyde. I would love to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at some point. And it all started, which is awful because he's just a freaking cheese ball, and everybody's like, oh, really? But not growing up, but I guess my early teenage youth, I really, really, really liked the David Hasselhoff version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I was obsessed with it. And that's how I got into my conservatory. Was I did confrontation, where he sings by himself and it's a split personality kind of situation. And just being able to do like this like lost in the darkness. And he has this really nice, and he's like, do you like, he has this like really like change. And I really think it's awesome. And I think just that character has such a cool arc you can do. And I mean, and it's probably one of the hardest shows to do
Really, right. The music in that show is in. I have loved that show since high school. Actually, I did a project on it, and I don't remember what it was about, but I did a project on it. But I love that show. I love that's such a good choice for you.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot. All right, your turn.
Okay, so I'm just gonna get the one that we all know is coming out of the way first because we all know this is coming, and
it's Carol Channing in Hello Dolly.
It's Carol Channing, everybody, in Carol Channing the musical. Yes. So one of my dream roles is Anastasia. It's Anya and Anastasia, where none of us are surprised. But I'll go into a little bit about why, because I don't know if I've ever done that part. So I first found out about the like I knew the movie and I knew it was becoming a musical, but I first listened to the music. It was like the summer after it had just come out. I think it came out in the springtime, and I had a group of friends that went to go see it in New York, and they were like, it was so good. Like, I think you would really like it type of deal. So because of that, I think that's when I started listening to the soundtrack, and I was like, oh my God. And like, yes, it's similar to the movie, but they've also got a bunch of new songs, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. This is like my type of music. I love, love, love that type of music. So listening to that, and then that summer, I got to go see it on Broadway, and I literally was in the theater and, was just like watching the show, and I'm like, this is it. Like, you just like, sometimes it clicks and you just like know that that's a role that either you're gonna play or you want to play, or a show that you want to be a part of someday, and that instantly clicked. And then I eventually went on to go and do Anya as my literal dream role for my undergraduate like recital thing, which in turn ended up literally getting me the job at Disney. So hey. All of these things like culminated together. And so Anya has a very close place to my heart. My car's name is Anya. Just basically Anastasia trash, but this is not new news.
Hashtag Anya never gonna leave ya.
Oh, gross. Yeah, I love it. I love it a lot.
That's funny. You can go check out her YouTube channel where she sings the hell out of Journey to the Past. It's great.
There are so many videos of me doing that. I'm like, I really got to pick a new song.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Goodness. Well, there's always Hello Dolly, Carol Channing.
Yes, you're right. I need to learn that.
That's fun. That's good. Okay, my number four, I guess now we're on number eight. My number four is a character that I memorized the monologue to the first time I heard the album. Oh God, this is old. The first time I heard the CD. And
my A-track of the album.
My A-track. I swear I'm not that old, guys. People are like, dude, like 45.
It's actually 70. So
okay. 70. No. When I first listened to the CD, at the very end of the CD, there is this monologue that this character does, and it's just out of nowhere. But after the finale ends, this character does this monologue. And I'm going to see if I can do it.
I'm trying to like brainstorm what it could be.
All right, I'm going to do it real quick. See if I can find it. How dare you? You are not fit to attend this school, madam. You ought to be in prison. In the deepest, dankest, darkest prison. Oh, I shall have you wheeled out, strapped to a table, and perform experiments on you. I shall feed you to the termites, and then I shall take those termites and grind them into dust. I shall take that dust and feed them to the bloodworms. The bloodworms I shall feed to birds, and the birds I shall release into the air, and then shoot them down with my 12-bar shotgun, and so on, and so on, and infinitum, madam, and infinitum. Your father was a crook, and so are you. Last night, I was driving home in that monstrosity he sold me, and the engine fell out. Now, what do you say to that? You can say nothing, and there is nothing you can say, because you are genetically predisposed to evil, and you must be destroyed before you can be allowed to grow 1 centimeter taller than you currently are. Do you hear? Vomit! Puke! Snot stain! Are you listening? All of these disgusting little... I forgot the rest, but...
Oh my god, literally just not looking at anything besides, he just is feeling what? Okay, let me just tell you that the first thought from all of those words was Yzma from Emperor's New Groove.
It's close. It's Miss Honey has allowed her weakness and filth to permeate through this miserable collection of excuses for children.
This is Trunchbull!
Yeah.
Yes! Okay. Oh my. So it is closed. I was like, you sound like a woman.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It's Miss Trunchbull. And a few years ago, I was lucky enough to get a. And I don't know why that monologue just like resonated with me, and I was freaking obsessed with it. And then like I just kind of. Oh yeah, I know. Well, and then I went. I did that monologue for an audition somewhere, and then that actually got me a callback. A callback in New York for Miss Trunchbull, and like there I was, like this like young guy, and around these like 50-year-olds. I was like, well, this isn't for me, but I appreciate it. And then, like last year, someone called me to do the regional version of it, but I was already booked. So it will happen someday. But it is just one of my dream shows. It's just what a fun villain where he or she is dark, but
yeah.
Interesting and scary and.
A woman,
and Bruce Bog Trotter. You liked my cake, didn't you, Bruce? Like it's just silliness.
Kind of like anyway. Professor Umbridge, and it's making my whole life so good. Okay. How do I top that? Let's see. I won't. Let's see. Where's my notes? There we go. Okay, so let's. I'll leave that one for last. So let's go with, so I'm going to try to make you guess it. That'll be fun.
Oh, love it.
Play a game.
That's what we did with Miss Trunchbull. It's great. That's
true, but I don't have the entire monologue memorized. So anyways, so this role I have loved forever. I saw the movie first and I was obsessed with it and then realized that it was a stage show. And it is just so much fun. And the lead character is literally just myself, honestly, personified on a Greek island singing ABBA.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
So Sophie from Mamma Mia, I literally am obsessed with her. I love the movie. And then I realized it was like a stage show afterwards. And I just think it's so much fun. And I want to do it so bad. I think that show would be literally a blast to do.
Oh yeah, 1,000%, and the disco-ness, the disco-ness to it all.
Yeah, I'm sorry I don't have a monologue prepared, but I do know the whole soundtrack.
It's fine. No. I'm gonna cut most of that out. I get carried away with like things that I like really.
I completely understand.
No. Wait. But that's why. What'd you say? Why
why?
Why Mamma Mia? Like I get, and I know you like liked it. You were obsessed with it. Like what makes you right for that role? What do you think?
I think just like I love Sophie's, I don't know the right word. I want to say youthfulness, but I don't think that's the right word that I'm looking for. But just like her passion for like living is just cool. And she's just so excited about everything. She's excited about learning more about herself and she wants to know where she comes from. And just like, she's just like a ray of sunshine as a character that I really love. And I love her relationship with her mom and just like this new life that she's about to have. It's kind of almost the calm before the storm of a show because she's about to go get, well, kind of married. The ending, they don't really get married, but she's just like, spoiler alert, but she's just like getting ready for this new point in her life. And I just think that's really exciting. And we're both at a similar, I think she's younger, but like, although I'm not going to be married anytime soon either, but we're at the same general point in our lives. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just think she's such a fun character and I would love to be able to delve into her psyche and sing some ABBA while pretending like I'm on a beach in Greece.
Well, right. I mean, who doesn't want that? That's amazing. So I always ask this question.
Okay.
Like when I'm first, just because it's like a fun getting to know you questions, especially to actors and actresses and all performers alike. So this is what I ask them. I say, okay, if you, especially to the younger peeps, if you could play a character from now until you're 40, what would you play? And then from when you're 40 to when you're 60, what would you play? You know, so that's my last two of my personal ones before I choose one for you.
Ooh, okay.
So that's how that works. So. Yeah. And I have played the role already, but it really, I freaking loved it. And it combines two of my passions that I enjoy, musical theater and puppetry.
Lord Farquaad.
No, but yes, I love that role as well. But it's also a great role. I did that at the a regional theater in town, the Orlando Repertory Theater.
Yeah.
The show is Avenue Q.
Oh, duh.
Public and I would love, yeah, and I would love to be the Princeton Rod Track. Now I've done it, and it was a lot of fun. And I think there was such like because that cast is so small, and there's a little bit of like, it's not a lot of improv, but there's a little bit of like give and take between the actors, and the puppetry is so cool. And right now in 2020, it's very hard to be a comedian to do comedy. So that's one thing that's a little strange. So I don't know how well the show has aged, but I know I do love Avenue Q and Princeton, and you know, this is gonna be my one name drop moment.
Okay.
So are you ready for it? So I when I was doing a show in New York, my only off Broadway show, which was Sidekicks the Musical, and they did, and the guy who wrote it was Stephen Schwartz's godson. Stephen Schwartz came to see the show, and then he invited a handful of us to his apartment. So we went to Stephen Schwartz's apartment, and he said, and this is, I'm obsessed with it. So Avenue Q and Wicked were up for Best Musical the same year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember who won?
Yeah, Avenue Q won, and it was a big disrupt in 2004.
It sure was. But do you know what Stephen Schwartz, like, I don't know if it's funny or bitter, but I'm obsessed with it. He has a signed like you know, the a libretto, or not libretto, I guess sheet Hello? Music oh, okay. Sheet music of It Sucks to Be Me, signed by Bobby and who did that? So Robert Lopez's. Yeah. It's signed by them, and it's framed, and guess where it's hung?
Oh God, where is it?
Right above his toilet. I saw it and I literally went, ha ha!
Oh.
It's so petty, but I'm obsessed with it.
That is so comical.
Yeah, right. Anyway, that's my one bougie name drop moment. But yeah, I was like, good for you for being a funny sport about it, but also like, are you being a funny sport about it?
So like, yeah, because I remember when I was younger, before I knew what Avenue Q was, like, now I love it. Oh my God, I want to play Kate Monster so bad. Mm-hmm. Love that show. But before I knew what it was, I was obviously like head over heels for Wicked, because weren't we all in middle school? So I was like, how dare a show about puppets win over Wicked? Blah, 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 blah. And like, now looking at it, I'm like, Avenue Q, I don't want to say it's better than Wicked, because I want to say that they're two vastly different things. So they're really like, you can't really compare them. But Avenue Q is very good, and it has puppets, but it is just like, you almost think when you're first looking at it, like, puppets diminish the meaning, or like the the quality of the show. Like, at least when I was younger, that's what I thought, but now I'm just like, this show is literally so good.
Even from a direction point of view, like, it's kind of groundbreaking to see the puppeteers and the puppets on at the same time. I mean even here at Walt Disney World, look at what the Lopez's kind of did. Not to say that it was them, it was because it was the director as well, but you know, they had the puppets on stage with where you could see the actors, and now here at Walt Disney World they have Finding Nemo the Musical, where they have the puppets on stage with all the actors, also written by the Lopez's.
Like, I knew that it was written by the same people, but it did not even click until you just said that
right.
Puppet.
And I don't know how much the Lopez's had to do with that, but I know that, you know, definitely Avenue Q made way for these kinds of things to happen. So it's just very interesting.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Thanks.
It's a good choice. Let's see what's up next. Okay. So up next, this is just like a fun, fluffy one, and I don't have like a deep meaning for it, but I just really want to play her someday as Katie Heron in Mean Girls. Literally, she's just so much fun. When Mean Girls first came out, I had like tons of people in my DMs being like, you need to listen to this. This is like a lead poppy singer, but she sings with like a classical, almost very Broadway voice. And I'm like,
oh, she's a good mix.
Yeah, she's got a fantastic mix. It's very like princess quality on Broadway poppy. Like it's really, really cool. So I went and listened to it. I was like, oh my God, that is literally the epitome of what I love to do. So I think the show's so fun and everyone has their own, like their own opinions about it. And when they first announced that Mean Girls was going to be a musical, everyone's like, but wait, that's so dumb. But it's actually such a cute show and it's a lot of fun. And I still think that there's really good messages in the show. And honestly, like that character never leaves stage for like a minute. She is doing quick changes the whole time. That whole show is a marathon for Katie. And I want to do it because I think it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I saw it for the first time here when it came to, I never saw it on Broadway, but I saw it here when it came to Orlando. And it was great. It was very interesting. And especially, knowing the movie so well, they did really cool things where they were able to like make, you know, this like one line of dialogue from the movie that they made into a full 3.5 minute song. But I was like, oh, that's cool. Good for you guys.
Yeah, I think they translated it super well while like still keeping the integrity of the movie of just being satire and then making it its own thing with like just their own, you know, the whole thing is new music, but I think they transitioned the medium super well to go into theater. And I think it's such a fun show. I wouldn't say it's super, super deep, but I do think it tackles a lot of issues that teenagers today are tackling. So I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So my last one that I chose for me is the one that I would play, like the character that I would play from when I was 40 to 60. Okay. And it's shocking. And every time I tell people this, they're like, what? Really? And I'm like, yes. This is the third musical I saw ever on Broadway. Mm-hmm. I have a huge thing for villains.
Okay.
A huge thing for I love a good villain death, and I think I love a good villain song, and I think this villain has one of the best special effect deaths minus Javert. I love his death too, but this is not it.
That's who I was thinking it was going to be.
Okay. Also a dream role, but not on my list. Do you have a guess besides Javert? Like, you know, a really good villain song and villain death.
Villain song, villain death. And you saw it. It was one of the first shows you saw.
Played by a tall white guy.
Tall white guy. There's a lot of them. And so you saw it a long time ago?
I saw it when I was, 14.
Is it a Disney musical?
It is.
Oh, it is. Okay. Because I was also thinking Frollo, but that's not until recent.
Correct.
So, no, that's not Gaston. What else is a villain? Oh my God. But it's a Disney show, but it's an older Disney show. And is it Aida?
No.
There's not a villain in that.
Yes, like, there is. The villain's like, another pyramid.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm going to be so angry when I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you will.
Okay. What is it?
The show was directed by Julie Taymor.
Okay.
it's Scar from The Lion King.
He's white?
Yes. He's the old... He's the only white guy. It's him and Timon and Pumbaa. They're usually, and maybe the occasional hyena. But yeah, Scar is played by a tall, old white guy.
Interesting. I think that's why I wasn't thinking that show at all.
Yeah. No. And I just love I've loved Lion King for so long. And I think that he just has one of the coolest villain arcs, especially the song that they added for him. Mm-hmm. And act two, he's like, God, do you know the song I'm talking about? He's like,
Zazu. I don't know the musical very well. I just know the movie.
Yeah, he's like, Zazu, why am I not loved? And then like he has this whole song about like why he's not loved and why Mufasa was always better than him and like how he still looms in the shadow of Mufasa. And you can see he's like actually crazy. It's really interesting.
Oh my gosh. I did see it when I was on tour, but I was like in sixth grade, so it's been a hot second.
Yeah, but Scar is my number one dream role that I would love to do because he's a great villain, a great arc, a great villain song, and a great villain death. I hate when villains have redemptions and they live. I think all villains should stay villains and die.
That's kind of the point.
Kind of the point.
Oh my gosh. No, I love that. I want to listen to that song now because I don't think I know that.
Oh, it's like, and that's where he hits on Nala. He's literally like, he's like, you could be my queen. And she's like, never. And she slaps him. And he's like, good. You. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'll see you play that when you're 50.
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my last one for myself. I don't know if you know this show, Sage. You might, but it's... Okay, so basically, I have loved this show since I like found it on the depths of newmusicaltheater.com when I was like a freshman in high school. And it is called Daddy Long Legs.
I know of it. I do not know anything about it. I know it's on Broadway HD, so I'll go watch it after this.
Daddy Long Legs and Anastasia are my top favorite, like, ever. And I think the show Daddy Long Legs tops Anastasia for me. It is just so good. I love that show forever. It was, like, it was not even off-Broadway. It was, like, doing regional stuff when I discovered it, and I was just clung to it. The character of Jerusha is the main character. It's actually, there's only two people in the show. So it's Jerusha and Jervis.
Perfect to do for socially distant 2020.
I'm just saying that was my idea. copyrighted. I literally, that show would be so easy to do social distance. So call me up, everybody. But Jerusha is just the epitome of the type of person that, like, I strive to be. She's just, like, super caring, and she wants to discover the world around her. And she's grown up, basically, long story short, she grew up in an orphanage, and this guy who she assumed was an older man paid for her to go to school just because, like, she wanted an education and she never got that. So the show details her going to college, and she writes letters to Daddy. That's, like, what she calls him. It's based on an older book. So she writes letters to him, and he's getting them, and she's like, oh, you must be so old, but here's all the things that I'm learning. And he's like, I'm not old. I'm actually just a few years older than you, and now I'm falling in love with you. And it is just, it's such a sweet show, and my description of it is not doing it justice whatsoever. But it is, like, it's one of those period pieces where it takes place in, like, the early 1900s. It's just, oh, so good. And the music is by the same people that wrote Jane Eyre. I don't know if you've heard that one. Have you heard Jane Eyre?
No, I don't think
so. It's by Paul Gordon, and he is just masterful with his instrumentals. It's just beautiful. The show is beautiful. The character is beautiful. The music is stunning. And I got to see it off Broadway. I literally flew up to New York to see it because I wanted to see it so bad because I had loved it for 6 years. And I got to see it with, like, I guess technically the OBC because it was off Broadway, but it was with Megan McGinnis, who was in Little Women, as well as, I don't remember the man, but I wanted to go see it for Megan McGinnis because I'm obsessed with her. So it's just amazing, and I want to play Jerusha so, so bad.
Look at you teaching me things, Jess.
I know. Well, that's why I saved it for last, because I'm like, ooh, I might have a teaching moment for Sage.
No, that's great. Okay, ready? Here's mine for you.
Okay. Now I'm nervous.
I don't know if you know this, but so this character is very, she's very fun, and she's quirky, and she has, and she could potentially, she's a quirky ingenue, which is exactly what you just described yourself as before we got on.
I literally love that. Yeah, okay.
More quirky than ingenue because she is a murderer. But my dream role for you to play would be Squeaky from Assassins.
My friend played that, and I do not know that show at all.
Yeah, basically she, I forget who she and her partner murdered or planned to murder or something like that, but Assassins is all about, you know, different assassinations about the president and things like that. And, Squeaky and the boy, I should know this much better, but they sing I am unworthy of your love. Oh, Steven, darling. It feels like it's totally up your alley. There are only two girls in the show, and one's like this fun, like squeaky, bubbly, like, I'm an ingenue, but I'm
a quirky killer.
But I could kill you at any second. And like, one's like a brassy, like, rah! You know, it's, oh, yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. It's really fun. I think you'd be great at it. So look up Squeaky. I am worthy of your love. Assassins. That's for you.
Oh, I love that. I will do that because I literally don't know that show at all, but I've known so many people who've done it, but I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
So for you, Sage, this was actually the first one that came to mind, so I went with it. And you might hate it and you might love it, but I think this would, you would be so funny at this, and that's Beetlejuice.
Oh.
From Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I think you're the perfect type for it. You're like that tall man person. And I think you would just bring so much like interesting comedy bits to it that, I mean, we call you Monster, you know, Finn. So I just think you would be so good at it. What are your thoughts on that? I want to know.
Oh, I love it. So first of all, I just want to go back. So the show that Jess and I do at a certain theme park, I am the tallest one there. So they call me Monster, whatever the character's name is. That's what she's talking about. So funny enough, the off-Broadway show that I did, Sidekicks, Alex Brightman was in that with me.
I'm so good.
yeah. So that was funny. Yeah. So I'll tell him you said that because that's awesome. But yeah, I don't know a lot about Beetlejuice. But you're not the first person that said that, which is hilarious. So I'll definitely have to look at it. But I will say my favorite Beetlejuice joke that I've heard, and it's actually from Universal Studios. but I freaking love Beetlejuice. He goes, hey, what are you doing? Sorry. I missed the time. My Pamela Anderson watch, it's busted.
Okay, so he already has a voice down. I was just going to say that I'm the best casting director ever. You're welcome.
Kind of. I got to work on it. But the thing that I will say is that I'm blown away at Alex Brightman for doing that show 8 days a week and with his voice, because I don't know if you know Alex Brightman before Beetlejuice and even before School of Rock. School of Rock was definitely more of a was definitely like a screaming kind of show. Dude was a soaring tenor. Look him up. The 35 millimeter. He's amazing.
Oh, I love 35 millimeter. Yes.
Oh, me too. I cut you a piece of me. That's Alex Brightman. So good.
The Sarah Berry song, like, literally gets me lit every single time.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Scott Oliver, go look him up. 35 millimeter. Also, look up Darling, which is like a dark version of Peter Pan. Alex Brightman plays Peter Pan, basically. And there's a song called he's a lost boy, and where I guess Neverland is like a club, and pixie dust is like cocaine, and it's really interesting. So yeah, go look it up. But yeah, anyway, but yes, that's awesome. I will take Beetlejuice any day of the week, Jess.
Yay, I'm so glad you like it. I was gonna be scared if you were like offended, because some people get weird about Beetlejuice, I guess, but I'm glad.
Why would I get offended? I love it.
I don't know. I didn't know if you liked it. I don't know.
It's showtime.
Hey, there we go.
Sage and Jessica, this is your 5 minute call. 5 minutes.
Thank you, five.
Well, that's our 5 minute call. As always, here on Thank You Have the Podcast, we like to take your last 5 minutes and party down. We like to talk about all the positive things that are happening in our lives right now, in the week. What's going on with you, Jess?
Well, this past week, just been really busy with work, which is honestly like such a good thing. I'm really excited about it. But I did get my hair done, and I was so excited. It's like a lot blonder. It's kind of white, honestly, but I am living for it, because I think it's going to like look really nice with some like burnt oranges for the fall time. So that's what's bringing me happiness this week.
I was going to say, yes, you could definitely, you're already there to, you were talking, one of your dream roles that was blonde.
Sophie.
Yes. I was like, yeah, you've got the hair for it now, girl.
Yeah,
I love it.
What was your positive for the week?
Well, my positive is like a bittersweet. No, it's good. No, it's good. By the time you listen to this, it'll already be over, but you can still check it out on Stage Striking TV. Tonight is we're recording this on a Monday, BT Dubs. Monday night, this past Monday, was our season one finale of Disney Game Night. So we're stopping that for a bit just because we want to focus on some other new fun videos that are coming out and things like that. But I'm excited because I get to play some Disney games with my friends tonight. There's a lot of fun surprises, and like we've got more puppets and more drag queens showing up. It's going to be awesome. So I'm excited for that, but I'm going to miss it while we're on hiatus, while we're gearing up for season two and while we're doing other things. So go check out Disney Game Night. If not, then I hate you. We're not friends anymore.
Wow.
Sage and Jessica, this is your Places call. Places, have a good show, you two.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Thank You Five, the podcast. We're going to leave you with some shout outs for our social media. So go check us out there. My roommate just got home. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Responding to me. So, so you can check me out on Instagram at Jessica Medley, on TikTok at Jessica _ Medley, and on YouTube at Jess Medley. Hi, Ryan. I'm recording a podcast. that's where you can find me and Sage. Where can they find you?
Gosh, Ryan, we're recording a podcast.
Gosh, Ryan.
Oh, jeez. No, you can find me on YouTube. Like I said, Sage Starkey TV, Instagram, Sage _ Starkey, Twitter, Starkey Sage. And did you mention this, our podcast yet?
No, you can find our podcast on Instagram at ThankYou5 _ the podcast.
That was nice. All right, take us out, Jess.
All right, guys, remember to stay inspired and
keep laughing.
Yes, we will do. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, places.